The email came in late August. The subject was routine blood test, September 5th. Fair enough, I had not been to NIH in 6 months, having graduated from the 3 month at a time blood test. Great, no problem. Take care of that one. But last Wednesday, when I drove back from NIH, the blood test was anything but routine. I don't like driving onto the NIH campus, and if you've been there, you know that as you drive in, on either side of the entrance are two motels to house young people and their parents, the young people being treated at NIH. It just breaks my heart. I get to building number 10, this massive building where I'd been for 6 months, and I was terrified to walk in because it brings back all those months of treatment, yes, but of fear of death, fear of pain, and fear for the rest of my life. They called me in right away. I got in about 11 o'clock. And the technician was challenged because when you're like me and you have two first names, thank you, it's hard to find out who you are on the computer. It took 10 minutes to match me up with my wristband and to all their machines. More tension. Got inside. This time, not two or three, but they were going to take 13 vials of blood. Okay. Different colors, had to mix and match those. More tension. Which arm? The left was close to him. Let's go. Probed, got a vein, and then he said, I've got a vein, but no blood. I've got to try again. Okay. Left arm again. Second prick. This time he was more like a dental hygienist than a blood technician. Sorry, no blood. How about the other arm? Well, I've got two. Other arm, and I said to myself, either three strikes you're out or three times a charm. Well, thank God it was three times a charm, and there we were. Walked to the lobby, I was devastated, done in. Sat there and did emails, looked around, cup of coffee, and came home. 6 hours later, the results appeared on my NIH patient portal. Turns out that of the 40 tests, 36 were fine, but 4 were not. And when you're an academic and you see 4 red marks, you're not happy. And of course, I think it's pass-fail, not that your body is changing. The next day, the doctor said, they'll be okay, we'll check it in 6 months. And they said, don't worry. I said to myself, that's easier said than done, but I'll try. Isaiah says, say to those whose hearts are affrighted, fear not, be strong. Here is your God. He comes to save you. And then that earth-shattering cosmic reference to the fact that what was dry becomes filled again with water, and what was blind could see, and those who could not hear could hear. Those cosmic images of consolation of God's power. But it begins not with God's power, but the admonition to fear not. The gospel. Jesus cures, but says, do not be afraid. Biblical commentators tell us that a phrase like be not afraid or do not worry appears over 300 times in the Bible. One commentator says it's 365. That's a bit much for me. But many, many times, why? Because we are afraid. We need to be told not to be afraid because we are afraid. Because we can be paralyzed in our fear about whether we will be cured physically, like the text of Isaiah. We can be afraid in our personal lives, our lives of faith, to walk on the path of peace and tranquility, even as holders of public office give us the opposite examples to save careers or to get ahead. We are afraid sometimes to give voice to the voiceless, simply because it might be an unpopular position to exalt the poor, although that's what Jesus does again and again in the gospel, and the migrant and the ostracized. We are afraid sometimes to take the next step in our spiritual lives, calling for a conversion of mind and heart. We back off and we say, like Scarlett O'Hara, I'll think about that tomorrow. Be not afraid. Conversion. Pope Francis continually says, liturgy leads to mission. Conversion in holiness leads to mission and caring for the other. At the end of May, it was my ordination anniversary, and normally I celebrate Mass in the evening with the priests at Catholic University or sometimes come next door to St. Ignatius Chapel. I couldn't get there that day, so 11 o'clock morning I went to the Mass and Annunciation. Just before it began, in walked a 60-something man who helps as an usher and kind of a helper around the church all the time, accompanied by a 30-something gentleman who was inebriated, looked very, very dirty, rugby shirt was filthy, rugby shorts were filthy. Several times during the Mass, he popped up and said something out in public, and those of us sitting there with our AARP cards were quite challenged by this outburst and upset. At communion time, Father went down to give him communion in his pew, but he had to walk up again and make another scene. At the end of Mass, two people helped Father with that young man. I spoke to the priest the next day, and they had gotten him help and got him a place to live, a place to stay. I thought to myself, this is the perfect example of what Pope Francis wants me to see on my ordination anniversary. I am trained in all of this stuff. I can do all of this, history, theology, liturgy. I got it all by way of textbook. But I needed that day to learn that someone not very well dressed was also in the image and likeness of God. Pope Francis says we're to smell the sheep. I needed that example. So what do we do this evening? How do we put together the question of fear and mission? How does that work? Let me end with three thoughts. Number one, let those words of Isaiah sear in your mind and heart forever. Be strong, fear not, here is your God in the midst of whatever you and I are going through. God does not abandon us. Number two, to ask others to help us not be afraid. We cannot do life on our own, and we need company, accompaniment, and prayer. Don't be proud to ask. And the third, to go out of ourselves in mission to be with and support others, whatever their needs are. You and I may well know people who have been sexually abused. They may well need a listening heart. They may well need the cure of someone to listen and befriend them. No time to wait for the hierarchy. The lowerarchy has to act as well. St. Francis of Assisi says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. There's injury, let me so pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. And grant that I might not be consoled so much as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. It is giving that we receive. In a few moments, you and I will approach this altar table and receive the broken bread and the cup outpoured with the blood of Christ, that blood which brought us salvation and redemption. that blood that made us whole. This week I found out there was no such thing as a routine blood test, but there was no such thing as a routine Sunday Mass. Every Mass is different. Hopefully our conversion is more than yesterday and less than tomorrow. This is not routine. This is where it matters. Nothing we can do in life matters as much in prayer as being at this altar. And nothing matters as much as life is to be sent forth and to live what we celebrate with each other. The subject of the email was routine blood test, September 5th. The doctor and I spoke the next day. He calmed my fears for a while, and he said, "Don't worry, we'll see you in 6 months." Well, thank God it's not three. Do not be afraid. I'll try.